The Raven and the Blues on BFBS Radio 2.
Start of the Raven the Blues almost sounds a touch like Rockola in some respects, doesn't it? But that's opening up the programme for this week. A classic track from the late 1950s on the King record label. It's Little Willie John. Great, great voice. And you can hear how he, indirectly and in some cases directly, influenced so many singers in the years after that. He was born back in 1937 in Arkansas, and really his peak time in terms of popularity and recording was in the late 50s into the very, very early 60s. That's a track taken from the new compilation called The King Sessions, 58 to 60, out on Ace Records, and it's called Why Don't You Haul Off and Love Me? I know we've got many American listeners, and that probably makes sense to you, but to me, coming from the northeast of England, hauling off and loving me just doesn't ring true somehow. Anyway, wherever you're listening in the world, whether it's on BFBS on FM across the world or at Skybird Radio or as a listener again, welcome to the programme. Live guests this week, we've got the Mercy Brothers, will be with us in about 20 minutes' time. And talking of live guests, they're going to be, I think, the last of 2006. Looking ahead, though, into 2007, my guest, about the middle of January, will be this gentleman. We've featured him before on the show. I've had a couple of emails, especially from the northeast, from Bladen, because they've used him at the blues club in Bladen. His name is Darren Nauendorf. His album is called The Rattling Wheel, and this is a track called The Reason You Came Here.
For something late, there's a bit of words hang on our breath. But all the roads lead the same straight to hell and back again. Love tangled up in blame. I cried out, I couldn't stand no more. What the hell reason did you come here for? What the hell reason did you come here for?
shakes. Didn't count on you losing your way. You're not the same with years upon my door, but now your rhythm and sounds crippled and amateur, and pieces are scattered on the floor. And I cried out, I couldn't stand no more. So what the hell reason did you come here for? Like old bones washed on the shore. What the hell reason did you come here for? What the hell reason did you come here for? When I can't break your fall, because I've been searching for a cue to, searching for a cue to. I cried out, I couldn't stand no more. What the hell reason did you come here for? We've already played all them broken chords. Reason did you come here for? What the hell reason did you come here for?
Able to be my first guest. I suppose it'll be about a month. Is it about a month's time? Does that mean Christmas and New Year will be over in a month? Yes, it does, doesn't it? Darren Nauendorf, the album The Rattling Wheel, been out about a month or so thereabouts, and that's the reason you came here, and looking forward to him being my guest in the new year. And also, it's not confirmed yet, but I hope this next gentleman will be. I mentioned last week I was going to see Mike Harrison at the Borderline Club in London. It was a great lunchtime session. There was a free tabs on the bar, which was excellent, and it was a great set. It was only about, I'd say only, about three quarters of an hour altogether, so it was just like one set rather than a break in between. And mostly tracks, I think entirely tracks from the new album, which is due out in January. And at that stage, I hope that Mike Harrison will be my guest in the studio here. He's gone back, and really, as he said on stage, it was going to be an album of Ray Charles songs, and then he said to the record label boss, how about just an album of tracks that I like? So it will be Ray Charles, but it'll also be Etta James and Aretha Franklin and others like that. And Mike Maslin, the record label boss, said, okay, do what you want, Mike. And the Late Starter album, out in January, features tracks like this one, which is The Nighttime Is the Right Time. Baby,
the one you love.
A gentleman called Lou Herman, and originally performed way back in the 50s by Ray Charles, and that's Mike Harrison. I saw him do that on stage last week. And then the vocal on there, the backup vocals, Rietta Austin, great voice. And it's called The Night Time Is the Right Time, Night and Day. The album is a mixture of tracks, well, literally from that era, from Ray Charles, Etta James, Aretha Franklin, things like Drown in My Own Tears, there's some Let's Go and Get Stoned, the Bob Dylan thing. There's some great stuff on there. You can't get it yet. By the time we've got into mid-January and it does get released, you'll have heard, I would guess, three or four tracks from it, if we keep on playing in one every couple of weeks or so. It really is great. And not only did I meet Mike, but also his wife Maureen as well, who was sitting at the back. While Mike was on stage, everybody was down the front, and I had been taking some photographs and doing some recordings, and I came back to my jacket to get something, I forget what it was, and realised there was this one lady sitting there on her own and just sort of looking really, really nervous and looking at the television screen of what was happening on the stage. And I knew she was kind of something to do with the record label or whatever, and I sat down and I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm just so nervous." And it was Mike's wife. Anyway, Maureen, if you're listening to this, hopefully we'll meet up with you in January too. Great, great album. It put me in mind while that was playing, and actually it was part of the conversation. I met some of Mike's friends who live in Essex nearby him, and we were talking about this next gentleman, about how he's literally come from, well, like I was going to say, from nowhere and become such a huge name. His name is James Hunter. His album's doing extremely well. We've featured many tracks for it, but I'm going to go back now to an album which he made back in 1986, 20 years ago, under the pseudonym of Howling Wilf, and the album is Cry Wilf, and here he is with Mellow Down Easy.
Everywhere, can you mellow down?
Recorded 20 years ago, but it could equally have been easily recorded 40 years before that even. That's Howling Wolf and the VJs. The VJs are Stilts McGregor on drums, vocals occasionally, but not there, and also on saucepan, T-Bucks Tone on upright string brace, and Dot on guitar. That's all she is, just Dot. And Howling Wolf on harmonica, of course, and vocals, the recognisable great voice of James Hunter, who is now doing awfully well with his latest album, which we've played so many tracks from. Okay, it's almost live guests time to take us up there. An album which came this week, and it was just so good. It's from a record label I've never featured before called Broken Hungry Records. The album is called Searching for Odell Harris, and he is the person on it. He's 66 years old, and this is his first CD. He's not a novice in the game, though, because his friends were people like R.L. Burnside and Junior Kimberer. His uncle was Albert King, and his cousin was William Bell of Stax Records fame. He's been around quite a while, and it's just a superb album. It was recorded in one night. It's called Searching for Odell Harris because he's actually such a shy person and normally never performs in anything bigger than like three or four people. So this is almost a real back porch nighttime recording made in one take. And as I forget who's the drummer on this, Lightning Malcolm on drums, his quote on it is, "Some of it wasn't in tune, but it was like better than being in tune." See what you think. First track from it. This is The Train I Ride.
Yeah, what you do? As long as you don't hit me. Go ahead. Hold you long.
Train.
16.
Hold you long.
Well, that's long, that train. Coming to carry my baby.
We'll be right back.
they're definitely the real deal. The Searching for Odell Harris CD, recorded in one night in July the 1st of this year in Ocean Springs in Mississippi, and featuring there Odell Harris himself on guitar and vocals, also Bill Abel on guitar and on bass and drums, Lightning Malcolm. It's a really great raw recording, but I think you'll love it when you listen to it in its entirety. It's The Raven and the Blues on BFBS Radio 2 and also on Skybird Radio out of the east coast of the USA, and of course as a podcast or as a listen again on your MP3 player of choice. Live guests time, and here are two gentlemen who really I hadn't, to be honest, heard of until about 2 months ago when I received an album from two guys called the Mercy Brothers, and their music to me just did all the right things and opened all the right doors, because to me it's all of the bits of the blues brought together in just two people. And I'm glad you've been able to make your time to the studio. We've got Baron Switchfield and then Michael Donello, who together have your own careers, have or had your own careers.
Both. Still to this day. Oh, yeah, definitely. We do all kinds of different stuff. You know, Baron's travels a lot over here and plays with bands over here. I do a lot of work in the States. Mm. It's funny because over the last few years, my work has turned mostly to production. So for me and Barry, getting back to doing the Mercy Brothers is a real treat.
You formed what? Came together 5 years? Is it about 5 years ago?
Well, something like that.
Yeah, you know, it kind of all fell together in 1999. I had a band called the Radio Kings that I left, and I stumbled into Barron's, and he needed a guitar player for the Savages, and I came on board, and we did that for a while, and then, you know, we got to know each other and our mutual love for all this different music, and little by little, it became what it is today. We kind of, it was like October 2000 was the first official gig for this band.
I'm ashamed to say I've got nothing in my album collection by the Savages or by the Radio Kings. So, Baron, what sort of music were you and the Savages doing at the time?
Well, we were doing pretty much high energy rock and roll, rhythm and blues. Everyone in England had tainted me as the next Little Richard.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because of my screaming and shouting. And that's my... Actually, one of my big reputations is that I do that. So that's pretty much what we're doing. Wild sax playing, guitar playing, and me jumping around like a crazy animal.
Right. Okay, so that's the Savages. Good name for them. And the Radio Kings, what were you guys doing?
We were doing, you know, blues primarily, but it was a little more, I hate to use the word modern, but just... more for what was going on at the time. We used to get a lot of comparisons to the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
All right.
And then as time went by, we got compared more and more to the Blasters, which I felt much more comfortable with. Because I thought, you know, honestly, it was more that type of a situation. The you know, the lineup of the band was guitar, a singer that played harmonica, bass, and drums. So, I mean, the Fab T-Birds connection.
Yes.
And Brian, the singer, was hugely influenced by Kim Wilson. And so he had some of that in his vocal. But, you know, the first couple records were just straight up blues. And then, you know, we, being great fans of all kinds of music, we stretched on the third record in, you know, all kinds of elements, much like the Mercy record is, you know.
Which brings us to the Mercy Brothers. So the two of you get together. And then all of a sudden decide not to sort of leave behind, but to now bring in into the mix a whole range of other aspects of blues and loosely connected blues. So is that something you just think you've both been sitting and going, yeah, the time is right?
Well, I mean, I had done a record with a singer-songwriter, guy by the name of Tom Russell, who... you know, we did these two records in the early 90s, and I mixed it up with him because he was just a straight kind of like Americana country kind of singer. But when we did this the record was called Hillbilly Voodoo, and when we did this record, we mixed it up. We did everything from like blues to country blues to soul to you know, a little bit of country, you know, and I, with all those influences going on, you know, I was very interested in the country, not even the country, no, but the acoustic kind of setting, you know, just having maybe an acoustic guitar, a harmonica player, a stand-up bass, and just stripping it down, you know?
But you're both Boston boys, aren't you? Are you
well,
both Boston?
We are now.
Yeah.
Are
oh, now. Oh, not before?
No.
Oh, I see, right.
No, we're from, well, I'm originally from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in Ohio.
All right.
I came to Boston to go to school and stayed, you know, the other guys, but...
We've talked about the record called Strange Adventure. Let's have something, I was going to say from it, but it may not be the case. Let's have something live anyway.
Well, let's do, you want to do Broke Down Engine?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that.
Oh, Old Blind Willie McTell song. There's blues for you.
Oh, yeah. And this is our version.
Feel like a broke down engine. Ain't got no driving wheel. Feel like a broke down engine. Ain't got no driving wheel. Been down and lonesome. You know how a poor man feels. I've been shooting craps and gambling. Mama, I done got broke. I've been shooting craps and gambling. Mama, I done got broke. Well, I pawned my pistol and all my best clothes. Woo. Went down to my praying ground. Fell down on bended knees. Went down to my praying ground. Fell down on bended knees. I ain't crying for no religion. Give me back my good gal, please. If you be my baby, I won't worry you no more. Woo! If you be my baby, please, I won't worry you no more. You don't go, come down to my house. It only leads to my front door. Lordy, lordy, lordy. Lordy, lordy, lord. Ooh, play it now, Chief. Oh, we're working on the water this morning.
Feeling that somehow over the years you've been together, that thing has gradually grown and developed and become more and more of a song, all right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we started with this stuff, you know, we started working on this stuff in 2000, and the record didn't get made for almost 3 years. So we had the luxury, as it turns out, to really work the stuff out And I have recordings of these songs that go back 2 and 3 years before the record was made. And you can hear it, but it really went somewhere else. And in retrospect, I'm glad we didn't get the record deal when we first thought we were going to get it, because it allowed us, it allowed the band to mature at its own rate rather than jumping into something.
Mature and also look reflectively back, I guess, because either the songs on the album are blues originals, or you can tell the influence of the blues originals. So which one of you, or were you both sort of saying, let's look further back, let's go back more to our roots? Which was there one driving force between the two of you with that?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, when you it seems like the older you get, the more you do go back. You know, as far as go back listening to a lot of stuff that you wouldn't have listened to when you were in your teens or when you were in your 20s or even 30s. So, I mean, you get influenced more by artists that you know, that maybe were influenced by other artists. And they'll tell you, oh, man, you got to hear this guy named Robert Pete Williams, or you got to hear this guy named Ishman Bracey, or you got to hear some blind Willie McTell, and you go back to it and you go, now we all grew up in the age of rock and roll.
Yes.
And you go back maybe 20, 30 years before that, and you can see where the roots of whether modern blues or rock and roll came from. You know, it just developed, you know, through different instrumentations or different vocalizations or different styles, but you know, it's the seeds were planted.
A couple of weeks ago, Eric Bibb was our guest, sitting where you are, and he said, but roots need watering. And it's so true. Do you feel that's what you're doing? You're watering the roots?
Yeah, I guess so. I know we are. Barents and I are huge music historians and huge music collectors, but at the same time, studying all this traditional music, I would never, ever want to try to recreate what a record sounded like in 1926, because it was a place and time. And whenever I hear somebody do something like that, it rings of untrueness.
You mean put the Alan Lomax scratches on something?
Yeah, or put this. Well, you know, the scratches can be a cool effect if it's an effect for the song, if you're trying to make a statement with the song. But when you hear somebody purposely say, oh, we recorded it like this because that's the way they did it in 1926. Mm. And so my response to that is, well, if those guys from 1926 were alive today, you can damn straight be sure that they'd be using Pro Tools.
Yes.
You know, and so, you know, I'm convinced that Robert Johnson, if he were alive today, would be playing electric guitar.
Right. And using Pro Tools.
And yeah.
On an Apple Mac.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
There's a thing to conjure with, yes.
It's not how it sounds. It's how it's played, and it's how it affects people.
Has it brought the two of you, because traveling together, if you're in a band, as you both know from both of your incarnations with bands, you can afford to sort of fall out, make friends. You can have rivalries. You can all be working together, or you can be a little factions, all that sort of stuff, you know, the penalties of being on the road. Traveling on your own, that's much easier in some respects. Traveling as just two of you, working as just two of you, can be quite difficult, I guess, can it?
I don't know. I think it's more difficult to be with a bunch of guys
than
be with two people. Because at least with two people, you do have the freedom to, you know, sit back and listen, relax, do things. Things can get frantic at times, but you can rebound. Mm. And, you know, it's just two of you. So, you know, especially if it's two people that like each other or dig the same kind of music. But when you're with a band, man, you got five different egos you got to deal with. You got five different ways of eating you got to deal with.
I don't want to eat at that restaurant.
Yeah,
tonight.
So, I mean, you got to either follow the group or, I mean, with me being the singer, I mean, I had chances where I can just say, well, you guys go ahead and do it. I'm going this, you know, because I was always the kind of guy who traveled that I was in. If I'm in a car for more than 8 hours and we get to our destination, the first thing I do at the hotel, throw my stuff in, say, see you later, guys. I'm going to take a nature walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's close with something then, taken either from Strange Adventure or perhaps even the forthcoming album. What should we go for our final track?
Our final track? You want something? Do you want something hot and heavy? Or are you?
Do you want to stand up for this?
I'll tell people I am sitting down. If I get up, you'll know by a push of air.
Yeah.
Pallet on the floor. It's a traditional gospel song that a lot of people have done. And well, lay me down a pallet on the floor. Lay me down nice, easy and slow. I said, if you leave Atlanta just before you go, well, lay me down a pallet on the floor. Well, I wanna go back where the water tastes like wine, way, way back to ease my worried mind. I said, if you leave Atlanta just before you go, tell me now, lay me down a pallet on the floor. Well, yeah. Shout it out. Take it down. Yeah, I wanna go back where the climate suits my clothes. Way, way back where nobody knows. I said, if you leave Atlanta just before you go, tell me now, lay me down a pallet on the floor. Well, lay me down a pallet on the floor. Yeah, I said, lay me down nice, easy and slow. Yeah, I said, if you leave Atlanta just before you go, tell me now, lay me down a pallet on the floor. One more time, yeah. Woo! Have mercy. I feel we're on the levee here today. Just before you go, I said, lay me down a pallet. I said, lay me down a pallet. I said, lay me down, lay me down, lay me down, lay me down, lay me down a pallet. Yeah, lay me down, lay me down. Lay me down and pass.
pallet. I said, lay me down a pallet. I said, lay me down a pallet on the floor.
Very different to the Sleepy John Estes version. And that's the Mercy Brothers. Thank you so much to Barrance and to Michael. If you want to hear the whole interview, it's pretty simple. Just go to the Raven and the Blues page at bfbs.com/R&B. There you will see their photograph. Click on the link underneath it. It'll take you to the complete 50-minute or thereabout unedited interview with one extra piece of music and a lot more conversation. And thanks so much to the two of them for coming. And they'll be part... Actually, we're going to be doing a special program towards the end of the year. I haven't worked out which week it's going to be, but one of the programs towards the end of December. We've only got three left, actually, so it's probably in about three shows' time. It's going to be made entirely of the bands who've performed here live. Not the tracks they've done here, but in fact taken from their albums. So you'll hear people like Doug McLeod, Eric Bibb, Guy Davis, Mercy Brothers, Doc Span, whole range. Everybody who's been here this year will be taking part with a track from their album. So it won't be the recordings here in the studio, a track from their album on probably the final program of 2006. And as I mentioned, coming up next year, we've got Darren Nauendorf and hopefully Mike Harrison as well in January or thereabouts. Where to now? Oh, somebody I'm going to be seeing this weekend, actually. They are out of Estonia. The name of the band are Bullfrog Brown. We've featured them before in the programme a couple of weeks ago. Looking forward to seeing them on Saturday night in a pub in Kingston. This is called Build Me a Statue.
Statue with a stone I stare. that you always make a spare. Oh, build me a statue. Oh,
Tartu in Estonia, the band are Bullfrog Brown. I'm seeing them in, what's the name of the pub? Forgotten now, tomorrow night. I hope I am anyway, assuming the weather is, stays relatively clement here in the UK. It's been blowing gales and this boat's been rocking backwards and forwards and the river outside is running at about 5 miles an hour, roughly. But hopefully we'll see them tomorrow night. That's the album Uncooked, and that is Build Me a Statue. Five people on that particular track, but I think coming over for the tour, only actually four members of the band, but we'll hopefully find out tomorrow. Let's look at the time. Almost it. We've only got time for two more tracks on the program. Here's a brand new CD which only arrived this week. It's from the Samuel C. Lee's band, which features, not unsurprisingly, Samuel C. Lee's on guitars and vocals and the keyboards, Adam on bass and Andy on drums. The album is called Big Man, B-I-G-G-M-A-N-N, and it's a great album. I've chosen this track mainly because some of the tracks are particularly rocky, and I sort of, as we got towards the end of the program, I thought, well, it doesn't fit particularly well on this week's program, but will on others. But this one will sound great on this week's program. It's called Dance Hall.
Baby, that's definitely not a maybe, but I'm going down the dance.
Great stuff. Making their debut on the show, the Samuel C. Lee's Band out of the UK. Big Man, B-I-G-G-M-A-N-N is the title of the album. That is a track called Dancehall. We'll be featuring them in the weeks to come too. And we close this week's show with somebody else making their debut on the programme, but somebody I met about 4 weeks ago when I was at a blues club in Twickenham to see Dave Akari on stage. This gentleman's name is Stuart Turner, and he'd been brought along for the sort of the open mic session in the middle. The way this club was organised was they had the first act, and then during the interval they had sort of like a guest act, so to speak, before then the main headline act came along towards the end. But the organisers were a bit sort of vague about this, and so what they were doing was if anybody turned up with a guitar or a harmonica, they got a set. And so poor Stuart had come all the way from Rochester in Kent, probably about a 100-mile trip, I guess, to get to this blues club to hopefully, you know, play four or five numbers and then perhaps sell a few copies of his CD. What actually happened was he did two numbers and had to go back home again. Anyway, we do have his CD. It's called A Gallon of Water Makes a Mile of Fog, and let's close this week's programme with this track from it, which is called We Need to Talk. I hope we'll talk again in a week's time. Don't forget the website, bfbs.com/R&B. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.